Friends, I'm turning this morning to Isaiah chapter 13. Isaiah chapter 13 and to verse 11 and 13. Isaiah 13, verse 11 and 13. From verse 11. And I will punish the world for their evil, and the wicked for their iniquity. And I will call the arrogancy of the proud to see, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. Then 13. Therefore I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts, and in the day of his fierce anger. Our brother will read it in chief, the 11 and 13. Friends, our subject this morning is, are you ready to face the judgment of God? Are you ready to face the judgment of God? Why are you here? Se ubeshia unyankupon ebufushio eni ne atemu eni huansemu na yebeka anapei. And I want to talk about this because of the recent earthquake that happened in Turkey, and the comments that I'm hearing from people in churches, in social media, and a lot of places. People are even saying that if there's a God, why should God allow this thing to happen? Others are saying that there is a God who has no control over nature, so things happen as they should. They may can say they see best a car to ask me once and say, and saying, as I say, who should be a CEO or tech, you know, a different brain will be a cancer or penal. A business of money, or why I intend to transform my science and win AC. And I saw the moment only to me ever near my AC, so a name of me AC or pro or pro. Now, said the same BI, you know, the BAC will be a fear in the science. A bit to me, actually, didn't hear it. Science can always explain all these things as to why they happen. Let's look at what the British Geological Survey Department says about earthquake. It says that earthquakes are the result of sudden movement along faults within the earth. The movement releases stored up elastic stress energy in the form of seismic waves, which propagate through the earth and cause the ground surface to shake. Another one from U.S. Geological Survey says, an earthquake is what happens when two blocks of the earth suddenly slip past one another. The surface where they slip is called the fault or fault plane. I think it's the same explanation. But I like the word fault, which they are using there. I don't know how I can explain this in chi. Now, the message of the church said, Tembiano science, a body of Munyansa, Siano, Omutimi, HSC, SMBCA, the TMA, SMBCA, in Sutua, or because they say this is the same in Sutua. Now, Sahas, as you go to Insuno, almost say, I gave in a numb as a fiat, not the fault to Bemua, and from Swobi, a Bemua, not just a Bako, Akushia, Nyonko, not our so assassin. But the question is, where did the fault come from? Fault God of Mukan, if you hear. We have biblical proof that earthquake is only from God. Your war, Bible, and your Bible, a chair said, as I say, also, if you want to go home. Say, a block even as a cobalt in New York, say, then you want to go home, and a man, a buy. It's we are going to talk about all these things. We know that the earthquakes are set forth by inspired writers of God, those who wrote the Bible, that is God's proper judicial act for the punishment of sin. Bible, it becomes so many places and pay. Actually, I say, as I say, also, a crime, a coupon, a faso, a key, any person, a war for name. Now, you hear about Charles Wesley, and so maybe I think in Canada, only a different church by it. Omiye, one of those Puritans, are now Omiye very good in scriptures, theologians of highest degree. Yen tia temo o kai. Or say, of all the judgments which the righteous God inflicts on sinners here on this earth, the most dreadful and destructive is an earthquake. This he has largely brought on our path of the earth, and thereby alarmed our fears and bid us to prepare to meet our God. He goes on to say, earthquakes are the work of the Lord, and he alone brings the destruction upon the earth. That God is himself the author of earthquakes, and sin the moral cause of earthquakes, cannot be denied by any who believe the scriptures. Professor Ocheni said, as I say, who say no, we are going to come on a now, a maniba is a bonnet. And all kinds of a client and a poor, a person, a twinny person in the army, a hoop, as I say, who so. Professor Ocheni said, as I say, who so bad. Then you go on a ma a crime a man abba. You call Job. Job also said, Job chapter 9 from verse 36. He said, he moves mountains without their knowing it, and overturns them in his anger. He shakes the earth from its place and makes its pillars tremble. He said, "Otimi wosu asasi nyako pon asem no yekin or wosu asasi emakasi nsu etimi wosu." There are so many passages. Maybe I can't be here. Psalm 46 verse 6. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought unto the earth. Psalm 104 verse 32. He looks at the earth and it trembles. He touches the mountains and they pour out smoke. Then Psalm 18 verse 7. Then the earth shook and quaked. The foundations of the mountains trembled. They shook because he burned with anger. So we are seeing that earthquakes are caused by God. It is his anger against sin. Now, earthquake is a warning of a more terrible one to come. As I say, within 45 seconds, a businessman became a poor man. A happy child became a widow. Within 45 seconds. Obo so che se 45 seconds mu nu obi a na we sika ni pa e be ye onyani obi a woni be bi da e be ye obi a woni be bi da within 45 seconds, and we all know of our own footballer. Within 45 seconds he was gone. So it is a warning, but not really a punishment per se for those people who were involved. It's a warning to everyone. Remember when they asked Jesus Christ this same question, who come there? And we'll see how Christ answered them. So God is always warning us, this world will come to an end. There will be judgment. Be prepared to face that day. The world rather takes our attention from this with entertainment and technology and a whole lot of things to take our minds away from the reality. The reality of life is that we were born sinners. We need to be born again to be reconciled to God. We can never be reconciled to God until we are born again, because he's holy, holy, holy. He's a holy God and can never bear with sin. We need to be cleansed from our sins before we can have access to God. This is what people must hear, and it's not going from our pulpit. People are preaching about prosperity, about this, about that. What about if you gain the whole world and you lose your soul? This is a warning from God. The world is distracting us with so many entertainments and so many vain promises in our churches. But the reality is that we will face death one day. or Christ will come, as we just sang in our church hymn, the hymn number 300. If you look at the last stanza, it says, "While sinners in despair shall call, rocks, hide us, mountains, on us fell." A bonnet for Becca said, "A boar a moon and woman so, not a nopo a mury and woman so." But look at the last one, the saints, those who have given their life to Christ, those who have been born again, he says, the saints ascending from the tomb shall joyful sing, the Lord is come. Those who have been born again, while the sinners will be trembling, those who have been born again will be in joy that their Lord has come. All the suffering that we have been through in this world has come to an end. The Lord has come. That day will come. So friends, how ready are you for that day? Are you ready to face God in His judgment? Are you saved? Are you born again? These are questions you must ask yourself every day. Those people in Turkey never knew that they were going to face this on that day. We don't know what's going to happen to us tomorrow, or even right here at the service. Nobody knows. Are you ready? When that day comes, have you thought about it? That where will I stand on that day? Because that will be the end. There will be no time for repentance again. Life on this earth is given to us to prepare for eternity. Here, how long can we live? We are going to live eternally. So where we are going to live eternally is where our hope, our trust, and everything, and our efforts must be. And the efforts, you can only make it whilst you are in this world, not anywhere else. Don't believe in the Roman Catholics. I've always said it when they're talking about purgatory, that those who die in their sins can have some people's righteousness credited to them. It is never true. The decision must be made in this world before you die. When you die, it is too late. You go to hell. Let's look at other verses. Psalm 18, verse 7, it says, "Then the earth shook and quaked. The foundations of the mountains trembled. They shook because he burned with anger." Then it says, Nahum chapter 1, verse 5 to 6. "In his presence the mountains quake, and the hills melt away. The earth trembles, and its people are destroyed. Who can stand before his fierce anger? Who can survive his burning fury? His rage blazes forth like fire, and the mountains crumble to dust in his presence." You see, all these things are proof that this world will be destroyed. And Christ, talking about this in Matthew chapter 24, referred to Noah's time. When Noah was preaching and pleading with people for 120 years, people said he was mad. In the end, it happened. There was a flood, people got destroyed. Only 8 souls were saved. It happened again at Sodom and Gomorrah, when a whole city was burned to ashes, except Lot and his people. So why don't you believe this one when he says it will come, and get ready for it? Let's read another quote from the same Charles Wesley again. He said, "Nothing can be so affecting as this judgment of an earthquake. When it comes unexpectedly and as a thief in the night, when there is no time to flee or method to escape or possibility to resist, when no sanctuary or refuge remains, when the earth opens suddenly and becomes the grave of whole families, towns, and cities, either sending out a flood of waters to drown them, or vomiting out flames of fire to consume them, or closing over them, when parents and children, husbands and wives, and all people without distinction, in the midst of health and peace and business, are buried in a common room." He's talking about the same thing. Or since a swampo, it may be fed in Baco, a giant, it may be fed in Baco, not Israel. Because that's a MO Epi, Ujnahane, and Mwapai, there's nothing you can do. You can't escape. You go down, and that will be the end. So it is a terrible thing. God is, and he said, something more terrible than this is going to happen. This is a warning. The COVID-19 was a warning. And the solution to all these things is Jesus Christ. When your life is in Jesus Christ, whether you die in the calamity or you wait until he comes, you are in his hands. And when he comes, where he is where you go. So friends, let's take this very serious. That earthquakes are warnings from God. The other man who was talking about this, that within 45 minutes souls were perishing, he, when he was talking about it, he was accusing his members, obviously the Muslims, the young people, that they were drinking alcohol and they were smoking cigarettes and all these things, and that's why the earthquake happened in those two areas, because they are Muslims. Others were saying that it is Turkey who provides mosques for African countries and they are supporting Islamic against Christianity. Like I'm saying, whatever it takes, the solution is Christ, because it is a warning for all of us. If war is a terrible evil, then how much more an earthquake, which comes all of a sudden and drowns people, places, houses, and everything. And then we know that this earth is hanging on nothing. It's God who holds it. And it's the most solid thing that we can talk about. If God can shake it, then what else can we think about that God cannot do? So when you say he will destroy this world, it is true. He has said it over and over and over and over again. So I just want to emphasize that the earthquake that we are talking about is a warning from God. COVID-19 was a warning from God. All calamities that we experience in this world are warnings from God that we should run away. This is a doomed world. We are living in a world. Nobody can make this world better. Don't believe the prophets and what they are saying. This world is going to be worse and worse and worse until Christ comes. So get ready. Come out of the world. Give your life to Christ. And then you'll be saved for whatever happens. Now let's come to our passage. Isaiah 13 there. We know that in Isaiah 13, if you go to 23, it contains so many burdens or pronouncements upon nations at the time of Israel. You know, he talks about Babylon, Assyria, Philistia, Moab, Damascus, which is Syria, Egypt, and others. They all came under the gloom pronouncement, judgment of Isaiah, the prophet. But you see, these chapters, when you read them, you may think that it applies to only those people at their time. Those who know scriptures know that Isaiah, the prophecies are mainly about the first coming of Christ and his next coming. All what we are seeing there are types of what will happen in our days. So when it's talking about Babylon, for instance, it's about this world. And our beliefs and our lifestyle and all those things is about us. So these warnings provide an insight into this modern world. The ancient world gives us an insight into what will happen in our modern world. If you go to chapter 14, the Lord condemned the wickedness of the house of Israel, and then he prophesied that it will be brought into great judgment because of his evil. You see, generally, these judgments were to be carried out by other nations who were even more sinful than Israel. And yet, they are the ones that God uses to punish Israel, to come and destroy them, come and take them as hostages into their Babylon and all those things. Why should it be so? Why should God destroy his people and leave those who are more sinful than the people of Israel? We'll come to that. We'll come to explain what Christ said about all these things. Now into verse 13. We see that the warnings were given to nine different nations. They were given the notice of the divine timetable for their repentance. Because God will always warn us and warn us to repent until we don't want to hear anymore. Then he strikes. Now, like I said before, he was talking about Babylon with its evil and judgment, and it was a shadow or a type of our present day Babylon. If you look at things that were happening in those days and in our days, I think ours is more terrible. Even though it is all sinful, a lot of things are happening in our days. In our days, because of technology, has it brought about any morality at all? No. Things are getting worse. Children are killing their own children, their friends, for rituals, for money. The love of money is what is really everywhere now. more terrible things are happening. People are killing people for money. And God will not sit down for this to go on forever and ever. So Babylon is a term used by the Lord to typify wickedness in our later days, in our world. So Isaiah, he foresaw the destruction of Babylon and how it's going to be degraded. And it refers to the universal wickedness of all people, which includes us. Even though Babylon was only a province in the mighty Assyrian Empire, Isaiah knew that Babylon, and not Assyria, will bring judgment upon the kingdom of Judah. Why? Like I said, it typifies our world now and what we are all going through now. In Isaiah chapter 13, verse 17, God issued a call for his forces to gather together to overthrow Babylon. This, God said, and it happened 130 years after. The warning was given in verse 17, but it happened 130 years later. The same way as Noah preached for 120 years before the flood came. So all these things are to show us that whatever God has said, no matter how long it takes, will come to pass. But why am I saying all these things? My question to you this morning is that, what must you do when you see these things happening? What must we do? And the answer, Christ gave the answer in Luke chapter 13 from verse 1 to 5. He says, there were present at that season some that told him, that told Christ, of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. If you have only been this yes to say, Luke chapter 13 from 1 to 5, you know, this and he said, now Galilee will be Pilate a sacrifice to him. Or Roma Akoya Nabusum, a Kumumina. And now, Omu Bisa said, now, he said, whose blood Pilate has mingled? Oh, Omu Bisa said, a year Omu Boni in Tiana, Omu Boni and Omu in Tina, a Bani Sana. And I'm going to hear the Christ can say, I tell you, nay, no, but except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. Not saying, yes, I'm here. Na mokwa na mujina ho se mo so ma repentia mo nya aju sakram ya mo nya awofofra mo so no e be destroy sa. Then he goes on again, verse 4. You see, of those 18, there were another 18 people upon whom the tower of Siloam fell and slew them. Think ye that they were sinless above all men that dwell in Jerusalem? No, see, Psalm 14 is what? Wo no ebugu wo mo so no. We just say omo ya de mo ye for change obi ana. No see that. Now once it's not also by what and our cookra on to say, I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. I don't know if my brother should read this or you understand it. But that is exactly the point he's saying. So most of them are ordinary, more than Ajun Sakra, most of them will be destroyed. In the same way that they attack if one is one earthquake enough, a warning to everybody. That's what Christ is trying to say. And this will be under the body chain will be empty. And now you are clear community. But once the town will also no sound, I want to obey destroyed. Now, 2 Peter verse 2 to 4. He said, for if God spared not the angels that sin, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be preserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. Peter saw some of Okan and he said, Senyang Kupon, angels now, almost so, etiatia with Yankupon. You know, some angels rebelled. They are the ones who are operating as demons now. They were angels, They rebel against God, and God punished them. Also, say Nyankopon om kra na no moye angels no. Say Nyankopon amfo ho anche wo mo. Na Noah time so, omo a no moye boni a omo ntie no wan so, omo nsuo e be yi fa wo. Na so do mangomo ran so, omo eja ekoshi wo omdia. Na denti, e na won so no. O say e wo ho as an example for people who will be living ungodly. Everybody who is not born again is living ungodly. So when God, the Bible says ungodly, is talking about those who have not been born again. Those who have not had their sins forgiven them. They are living ungodly. So this is an example for those who are living ungodly now. So what should we do? That's the question. And in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, Christ said, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." To fear God, believe in his word. Jesus said, This is what Christ was saying here. He said, "Don't fear. John 3:16 says, "Those who will believe," he said, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that those who will believe in him will not perish but have everlasting life. When you go home, Edward or maybe a tiny, so or didn't Baba who pet to her mind, so Oma Beggy let you know, Omo and say, now open your damn. So when you say those who will believe, what do you believe? Do you believe that Christ came and died and all those things? Yes, Satan believes all those things too. But do you believe that you are a sinner by birth, by nature, and you can never have access to God unless you are cleansed from that sin? Do you believe in that? Do you believe in that it is only the blood of Christ that can cleanse you from your sins? Because Hebrews 9 talk about that. That without the shedding of blood, there will be no remission of sin. Which means Christ has died to save you from your sins. Do you believe in this? And it's a serious sin. Can you give up your own child to go and die? Christ was given to us. He never sinned. He was punished on the cross of Calvary for our sins, so that our sins will be forgiven us. Do you believe in that? If you believe in that, what efforts are you making? Are you committing your life to him? Have you given your life to him? Have you asked him to forgive you and make you his child? This is the question you should ask yourself. Jeremiah chapter 5 verse 22, he said, "When God makes the mountains tremble and the earth shake, shall not our heart be moved? Should you not fear? Should you not fear me, declares the Lord? Should you not tremble in my presence?" Won't you fear God? If he has done all this, won't you fear him, the one who can destroy the whole city within 45 seconds? Won't you fear him? Then, if you won't fear him, then it's up to you. Because he is the one that can make the heavens open and whether water or fire can flow to destroy the whole place. So you have to fear him. You have to fear him who can rain upon the wicked snare, fire, and brimstone, and a horrible tempest. That is Psalm 11, verse 6. Will you fear him who can kindle those earthquakes in the caverns of the earth and make them force their way to the destruction of towns, cities, and earthquakes? Will you fear him, the one who can do all these things? Psalm 119, verse 120 says, "Oh, that his fear might this moment fall upon all you who hear me this morning." I pray that all of you, the fear of God will fall on you this morning, those who are here listening to me this morning. And he said, "My flesh trembles in fear of you, and I am afraid of your judgment." Psalm 119, verse 120. You see, you have to tremble before God. Come with fear. Don't take it lightly. It's not a small matter. Otherwise, Christ will not have to come down and die. If sin forgiveness is a small matter, then God can just wink his eye and say, okay, I'm God. I'm the Almighty. I have forgiven you. No. He is a God of justice as well as a God of mercy. His justice and mercy must work together. That's why he has sent his son to come and die, so that our sins be forgiven us. so that it won't be like he has pushed our sins under the carpet. He has paid for through his son, through his death on the cross of Calvary. And it's not a small matter. It's not a light matter. If somebody has died, not ordinary person, God himself has come to die, are you taking it serious? Do you fear him? Or you take it lightly? The world will make you take it lightly. Churches will make you take it lightly. Because when you go, they are dancing. They are merrymaking. They think they go to church to entertain themselves. I think I've told you this before, that when I went to England, the first time, some churches that I visited, you enter the church through a cemetery. The entrance is a cemetery before you go to the church. And I was surprised. So I asked them, why is it like that? He said, yes, to remind you that this is where your end will be. You see people who were in the church and you see their grave. And it reminds you of who you are. So when you are going to church, you're not going to entertain yourself. You are going to plead with God to forgive you of your sins and make you his child. The American said, say, Unyankopon amaneba Yesu, a onu a onye bonye da, if we have in aba, abewu, edi aje onkwa. Now what you want now, this is a thing where you can hear, as a kid to a beer. It is a serious thing. Uba sorry now, uko, uba ubetie now, uko, ufane say, as a kid to a beer. But you know who ye, as someone, I use Unyankopon kwa nkwa nebit mi aba, edi ni moji aba sepa. This is Hebrews, a chair, say, si yenshiye boni, yenshiye moji enwa, boni fache niho. And the blood must not be any person's blood, a blood of a sinless person who we can't find in this world apart from Christ. Into a card in Namawa, would you say as an kitwa? I would be the other. No, it's a serious thing. Fear him and turn to him today. God will never lack ways and means to punish impenitent sinners. When you go or can be bra or fasso a day a bow in the power or no. Or they punish you, or thousands other judgments in reserve that we have never even known. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 31, he said it's a fearful thing. In other words, it's a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And it is true. It is a fearful thing. That's what he's saying. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of God. That is why in our church, every Sunday morning we preach the gospel. Every Sunday morning. Because the gospel is the theme of the scriptures. The whole Bible is about how we lost our relationship with God and how to rebuild it. So, when he says it's a fearful thing, one day when God comes, you have nowhere to stand because he has been warning you and warning you and you are seeking life. So today, if you are hearing his voice, I pray that you will take it serious. I will quote what one man said. It's called Doug Van Meter. He wrote a commentary on Hebrews. And the title is that, Thank God for Fear. Thank God for Fear. He said, a healthy fear is often the means to save us from tragedy. Some may have a friend of the Van Meter, or throw a book could be on Hebrews, commentary on Hebrews, and the title only says, "Yet that a radiation is true." And we see, "Sure, a year papa no." Any a kwanya a person a year free amanim. You see, a healthy fear is often the means to save us from tragedy. And when it comes to the gospel, fear is also a great blessing. You see, people don't fear God because they don't know who God is. Sometimes you may hear preachers talking only about the love of God. They will never talk about the justice of God. If, like I said earlier on, he can forgive sins just like that, then he won't be God. Because he has said that he will punish sin. All this thing I'm telling you, it is God who is giving those warnings that he said he will punish sin. So if you can tell me the word for you, I love you because of my love, go. No. Because of his love, he made his son die for you. That is the love. There's no love that can be compared to the love of God. That sinners who are rebels against him will be forgiven of their sins through the death of his son. So it proves his love. And then his mercy. And then comes to his justice. So the gospel is a great blessing to fear God. And he said, the gospel paints the picture of who you are, your natural state, and then points you to Christ. That's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit convicts you of your sin and then points you to Christ. It's only in Christianity that we have a means of cleansing us from our sins. Sometimes when I meet our Muslim friends, even this man I quoted earlier on, the man on social media, he agreed that sin is the cause of the earthquake. But how are they dealing with their sin? That is the problem. You believe that you are a sinner. There's sin at the back of your back. How are you getting rid of that sin? That is where the problem comes from. It's only in Christianity that we have a way of cleansing us from our sin by only believing in Jesus Christ and what he has done on the cross of Calvary. The American said, "Ewo kiso munkwa, and yakse ekwanya, e pasu e ye free, bonim." Na nkemofo sey omo gidi sey boni e wo ho e na make the man na me go dey dem be kana sey man e gidi sey boni na ama asase wusu na aba but he that he no pointing people to Christ, he is pointing people to their own self. You are smoking, you are drinking. Why is he smoking? Why is he drinking? Why is he committing fornication? Because he was born in that state. That is his natural state. He enjoys doing those things. That's what Christ referred to us as fish in the sea. Sinners, Christ refers to us as fish in the sea because in the same way as fish love the water, we also love our sin. We don't want to come out of our sin unless it brings us up. So the Holy Spirit will convict you of your sin and point you to Christ. That is the only religion in this world that can do this. Most of us will tell you, do this and do that and go to Mecca and give alms and all. It is not true. Those sins can never save you from your sin. The only thing that can wash away your sins is the blood of Christ. And you have to believe in him, give your life to him, and he will make you a new person. A proper fear drives us to obey him by believing the gospel. When we go to Acts 5 verse 32, 6 verse 7, Romans 1 verse 5, and so many of them, Galatians 3, 1, they are all talking about it. But why should we fear God? What is it that we are doing when people say it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God? Friends, I will turn you to Galatians 5, verse 19. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. This is a very popular passage, I'm sure all of you know. Beginning from verse 18. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Then it goes on, he says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresy, envy, murder, drunkenness, rebellion, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in the past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Bro.
Let's go, my dear. Do you know what people see? I said, who are you? You know what? I'm only in my ass. I'm not going to die. 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 I'm not going to die.
You see, it is clear, he has laid down things that if you do, you can't enter into his kingdom. And let's be fair to ourselves, everybody living in this world have these things in them. Unless you are born again. You have all these things in them and you can never stop doing them until you are born again. Until the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in you. So you see, what Christ has come to do for us is to obey all these things. So when you believe in him, he gives you his righteousness. And once he gives it to you, the Holy Spirit will not come and dwell in you, so that you will have the power over these things. Even if you commit them, you commit them with still grace in your heart. That's what the whole Bible is about. You have to stop sinning, and you can't do it on your own. You need the Holy Spirit to come and help you. But the Holy Spirit will never come until you are born again. And you won't be born again until you believe in Jesus Christ and then commit your life to him. And then when it is salvation, it's an instant thing. It happens all of a sudden. As soon as you commit your life to Christ, it's an instant. You are born again. Right there, you are born again. But then you'll be going through sanctification. That is a process. And that will take the whole of your life until you die. Sani meya yaka mwa semu inaanu. Obi ni homo obi tmeka jemi se, ebi ni nimu. By nature no, sani mwa nina. Ewo ye mwa, enye deo ewo ye. Now if you are here and free with Munsu there, God can never come, the Holy Spirit can never come and dwell in you. Because you are holy, holy, holy. Or you are crum, 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 crum. I just tell you, I will free with Munsu. If you free Munsu, I just say, I will do one by Yesu. Now I'm crum, 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 crum. He says, if you commit your life to me, I will seal you with the Holy Spirit. The moment you are born again, or the crum, 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 crum. I'm going to be a disciple. And today he has to make a prayer for the Yahweh. And today he has to make a prayer for me, Yahweh. Because when you believe, God Himself, the Holy Spirit is dwelling in you. And when He's dwelling in you, it will be manifest in your life. It will show in your life. It is not speaking in tongues. It is not what people think is the Holy Spirit. Let's turn to verse 21, the same Galatians there. 22. He said, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such things there is no law. So you see, when you are born again, these are the fruits that will be shown in your life. It didn't mention that you prophesy or you do this. No. These are the things that will show in your life. It shows that you are born again. You are not living with the Holy Spirit. So the most important thing is you being born again. Many, many people, even including those who call themselves Christians, they reject the idea of hell. I've told you before that one time I went to a seminary in Kumasi. Seminary, who are training pastors. And when I wanted to show them a book about heaven, they said they are not interested. They don't want to think about heaven or hell. Either they think it is not there, or I don't know what the man means to say, but he said no. They want to deal with things in this world. I don't know which things in this world they are trying to deal with. He says they don't like double. They don't even believe that there is hell. There's a place that some people will go eternally in their life. There's one man, Clark Pinnock. He's one of those people. Let's see what he says. He said, I consider the concept of hell as endless torment in body and mind, an outrageous doctrine. A theological and moral horror, a bad doctrine of the tradition which needs to be changed. Everlasting torment is intolerable from a moral point of view because it makes God into a bloodthirsty monster who maintains an everlasting torment for victims which he does not even allow to die. You see what he's saying? Ubi asema okan. Also when they say enipa ever call a hell. All their lives there. Meanwhile, there's evidence in the Bible. Lazarus and the rich man. Isn't it? When they died, they were in two different places. One was in heaven, one was in hell. So why is this man saying that? Even though any people bring and I told him 300. Oh, what it was saying that the Lord shall come the earth shall quake. Now, hell is real. There's another man who is also called Richard Phillips. He said that God should judge sinners is not the issue or the outrage. But the outrage or the issue is that man, having received this gift from God, should then despise it. Or say, Nyankopon ebe gbia enipa ten ewo hell no. Ene na ya tem no. Ene na ya tem enwa. Dem wan say, Nyankopon amekwan o faso a e ma won enko hell. Na fu nipa abogu. Emi atem a e se nipa e je no. Because right from Genesis now Adam and Eve were born pe. Right then God provided the means in Genesis 3 verse 15. E ho na Nyankopon ka say, Nema Yesu aba abiwu ajebu. It is the next book say, "Obemu ask for hell forever and ever." Said the king of Nicanor. It is not the issue. The issue is that why are you rejecting? Are you not saying they be now open your juma. Obe tahani uti na apa no aso akido. Eni ase ma jisto bisa. Nye di nyang ekopong akan say, wa mama hima obe ko hell. It is that is what will happen because you can't be in between. What you mean na hell in any hell in term? Who about whom? I say, oh, before heaven. And I say, oh, before hell. There are only two places that we can go. So hell is real. Eternity is real. We will spend life in eternity. Here on this earth is given to us to prepare us for the eternal world. So the question is, where will you be? Are you prepared to face the great known of God judgment? Why are you ready? What wow home? Say Nyankopon atemu na eba no obetimi agina. When in the man Hebrews atem na otrain e sa atemu ntia or you concerned about the future of sinners, where they will be. That's why he said it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of God. Very fearful. And we see it from the examples, the earthquakes, the calamities that are happening. It showed that day will be terrible. The day of the Lord will be terrible. Are you ready for it? Are you preparing for it? Or you are just living your life? You are just in this world. So people, when you ask them, if Christ will come today, where will you go? I don't know. I don't know. But when I get there, then God decides. Who will be that stupid to wait until you get to God and then you let God decide? When God has given you the means here, believe in my son, give your life to him, and I will change you. You say, I won't do it. I will wait until I get to God and then for God to decide. It's a fearful thing. That it will be too late when you get to that stage. So as I come to the end of our topic for today, we know that it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. I know this is not a message that is easy to preach. People don't want to preach it. But that's what the Bible too says. So you either preach it or leave it. Don't go and pamper people. Oh, you are good. You are the head and not the tail. You are that. No. Who is the head and who is the tail? The Bible is warning us. Christ said that don't think about those who have perished as if they are the only sinners. If you don't repent, you also die in the same way. So why are we pampering people? Why are you not telling them the truth? Especially when you are convicted, we show you the way. The way is Christ. It's as simple. Believe in Christ, commit your life to him, and be born again. It's as simple as that. So, my message is that, are you living in sin? Are you living in any of the sins that we just mentioned? If you are living in them and you are still alive, thank God. There's a chance for you to repent. There's time for you to repent. When death comes, and death can come at any time to anybody, Christ can come at any time, will you be ready by that time? Friends, think about this. And before I come to the end of my sermon, let's end the 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. 2 Peter chapter 1. So 2 Peter chapter 1, he said, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. To them that have obtained life precious faith, with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertaineth life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that have called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by this ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, unto virtue knowledge, unto knowledge repentance, unto temperance patience, unto patience godliness, unto godliness. The point that I want to bring to you well, because of our time, let me just end it here. But what Peter was trying to talk about is that if you know that all these things are going to happen because of what we are seeing now, because of earthquakes, because of calamities, and here he describes how this world will come to an end, then in the midst of all these things, what must you do? What must you do? If you believe in all these things, the only thing you can do is to turn to God. Look to him now by believing in Jesus Christ, committing your entire life unto him, that he will forgive you, because he has promised. And God says that those that he gives me, nobody can take them out of my hand. He protects you until the end. When God saves you, you are saved forever because of the hand that saved you, because of the grace, because you are saved by grace, not by works. So the same grace will see you through once you commit your life entirely to God. There's a famous sermon, I'm sure most of you have heard that, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, Jonathan Edwards. We have his book in our bookshop, those who want to have it read. And there was a commentary on that sermon. And the man said, Jonathan Edwards gave his people a whiff of the surface of hell in the way Jonathan Edwards painted hell to the people, and that they might deeply inhale the fragrance of grace. See, when you see how terrible hell is, then you appreciate grace. So we who said yeah, that thing I tell you only banana sebeya. And a bema one who idea yes why I'm on. I don't know or they are doing it. So the beya yeah, jini dia the dear body better. So the picture is painted to you, and then we point you to grace. As I said earlier on, the Holy Spirit convicts you of your sins and then points you to Christ. This is the only way you be born again. You can never be born again by any processes. It is believing in Jesus Christ, committing your life unto him, confessing your sins, and asking him to forgive you. Have you done that in your life? Have you done that in sincerity from your heart? Not because somebody was preaching and he asked you to raise your hand if you want to give your life to Christ. No. You do it on your own, in your own bedroom. You kneel down and pray to God. Pardon and forgiveness of your sins to make you his child. Have you done that? If you haven't, today is the day. Let today be the day. Commit your life to him, and he will save you from the coming wrath.